In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I enjoy going for walks in the early evening, at dusk, particularly this time of year, when there's a sense of impending dark grey days, darker nights. Because as I walk around at this time, light emerges. The light in a window. The lights of people out and about. And of course, lights twinkling up on a hillside. A sense of life. As darkness, as winter, as dull days descend, so light takes on a new significance and a new importance. If I was to give a title to my sermon today, it would be something like this: Personal Discipleship and Community of Faith, the Challenge of Being Christian Today. We all experience at times within our lives the gloom, the dark days, the clouds, the dullness. And we seek out and we respond to the light of Christ, the light of God, the light that beckons us forth, that warms us and reminds us that darkness does not have the last word. And yet the life of faith today is also challenged by the very thing that was mentioned in Deuteronomy. We live in plentiful circumstances. We live in a society where all our wants and needs can be fulfilled. We live in a society where we are presented daily with all sorts of choices. We live in a society that dazzles us with its lights. Literally. The twinkling of lights is all around us in a way that can often blur and distract us from the light of life. It can sometimes be an incredibly difficult personal challenge to seek out, to respond to, and to pursue the light of life in the midst of a life where there's so much light of distraction around. And we see it in the world around us. In the midst of plenty, there is deep spiritual want. In the midst of the lights of life, there is a darkness that seeks it and needs it, the light of life. And not only in terms of a personal response and personal living out of our lives, but also in the world at large. We are caught up, directly or indirectly, with a darkness which is descending on parts of the world, which has parts of the world in its grip. The evil of ISIS, claiming to be a representative of Islam that most Muslim leaders actually abjure and reject. In our history, we have known darkness that sweeps across the land, and we see it again in places like Ukraine. We are aware of Christians in different parts of the world suffering persecution. We are aware of a world that at times and in places seems to be descending into darkness and gloom. And in those situations, as a community of faith, we are challenged with being the light in the world. We are challenged, as I discovered this week when I was in Rome, and when I went to a presentation on the Global Freedom Network that the director of the Anglican Centre has been part of developing and has the endorsement of and the backing of Pope Francis and Archbishop Justin Welby and others. The Global Freedom Network is an attempt to bring light into the darkness that affects now some 30 million people worldwide who are classified as enslaved. whether caught up in human trafficking for the sex trade, which is about 20%, or whether in sweatshops, in labour camps, in situations where freedom is denied for the sake of being, of becoming, of economic benefit to someone else. Shocking figures, disturbing realities. Confronting of evil requires a bright light. The need for light, the light of love and forgiveness and for peace, is ever with us. There are many contexts for the living out of our personal discipleship and for our community of faith, the life of the community. In situations of peace and plenty, there is much to be thankful for, and yet there is also a real challenge. In situations of aggression and privation and difficulty, or situations of persecution and flight, there is much to be concerned for, and yet also, when the grace of God is experienced, much to be thankful for. How do we, in our lives of faith, both personal and our communities, in our different contexts, express and live out our commitment to Christ and our commitment to one another to be the church in the world? In other words, to pursue the ministry and the mission which is ours by virtue of being disciples of Christ. Being Christian today involves both a personal quest and response, as well as being involved in the community context, where there's mutual responsibility and accountability one to another. We are, as Paul says it, members one of another. The church is not a club. The church is a community. The community which embodies the light of Christ, which is in some real sense the body of Christ in the world today. The arms, the feet, the outreaching hands, the minds that apply themselves. And God calls us freely into this community, into this life of discipleship, into this life of faith, into the challenge that he puts before us, and we respond in freedom. We confront the challenges, as I've mentioned, as Deuteronomy reminds us, the challenges of the good promises and visions of plenty, which nonetheless can become distracting. We know the truth of the adage, as you sow, so you reap. It is in giving that we receive. We know these things. And Corinthian reminds us that God loves the cheerful giver. And I've pondered on that. Cheerful. Being happy? Well, yes. But I think the deeper meaning is actually being free. The gift that is given freely. The giving of ourselves that doesn't seek anything in return. I remember as a young youth leader, I think it was, when I first encountered this, being in a situation, being in some kind of church official meeting, when there was something contentious happening, probably something that the youth club was getting up to, I don't know what. But I remember the response of one individual. If the church does so and so, I'm going to withdraw my money. And I remember being puzzled by that, even then. And subsequently, when I've come across this in certain times in the life of the church, where people try to use economic leverage to gain their will or express their reaction. Because it seems to me that very attitude undercuts the cheerful giver, undercuts the sense in which in giving we give freely of ourselves, and in giving freely we let go of that gift. If we want to be involved in the decision makings about how the gift is used, well, then get involved in the life of the church, in the life of the community, and in the decision-making structures. But in terms of being part and parcel of the community of faith, the giving of ourselves, not just in terms of our resources, our finances, the pledging, which is part of what we are focusing on, but more particularly our own selves, our lives, our time and talents, And so we're mindful also of the virtue of prudence. We know the need to manage resources, our personal resources, the resources of the community of faith, of course. But Luke warns against going slightly the other way, the vanity of hoarding, the sense of selfish preservation that again undermines the generosity, the freely giving of self to God. One level, the exhortation to stewardship, the jogging of ourselves to support the cause, is an easy thing to do. If we're thinking in terms of the church, like another charity that we might support, we want to consider. And we weigh up, we do the maths. We know what we can afford. We know what the needs are. In some ways, that's a simple exercise. The deeper challenge is the awareness that being Christian, being a disciple, being part of the community, is that we are supporting one another and we are engaged in the mission and the ministry. The ministry of the church is, to that extent, the mission of God. To be part of that, to give ourselves freely into that to the extent that we can, to let go of any claim to spend ourselves and not count the cost, is the real challenge. The challenge of the inner initiative. The challenge of recognizing that stewardship of talents and times is a correlate of our discipleship. It is a case of cooperating with the mission of God. It is the free will that does not claim, but rather lets go and lets God. Amen.